Crash Course Live is presented by
Smash It Demolition Derby, who hosts Bash for Cash, Blizzard Bash, and Capital City Carnage. Online at smashitderby.com. And Stirring Dirt Racing, host of May Mania's team show at the Golden Spike Arena in Ogden, Utah. Online at stirringdirtracing.com.
Reckless Abandoned Derby Apparel and Derby Inc. Magazine. This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York. And now your host, Chris Marquardt.
Good afternoon, good evening, welcome to Crash Course episode number 194. Dan Bolton going to be joining us, going to be talking with Jeremy Gulley a little bit later on. Apologize to anybody who had a couple blips at the beginning there. For some reason, the streamer had shut off just as we went live, which is usually how things go on the episodes when we're flying solo. So good action down at the Shenandoah County Fair in Woodstock. Good action over at the Hartford Fair on Saturday. It feels like it's been forever since we've had the chance to get on the air with you. Excited to be here. Going to be a bit of an abridged show, but nonetheless, we're going to get a couple interviews in and talk a little bit about the activities that happened over the weekend. New Alex had their championship night on Friday. Jason Koch, we tried to get in touch with him, but he's busy working, so he's not going to be able to be with us. We'll be catching up with him in a couple weeks when he works on that benefit derby that they do every year. Again, Dan Bolton going to be joining us. Turning our attention mostly and most importantly to what happened over the weekend that was outside of the Demolition Derby world. I know there's been friends of ours that are both in the Demolition Derby world and friends of ours that are outside of it that have had their lives turned on this year. Down in Houston with Hurricane Harvey touching ground. I just saw a post from some of the best friends that we could ever ask for that had relocated down to Houston. They are on the outskirts of it, and so far they have not been displaced. The river, while it's brimming, has not crested, so they're currently okay, and they were making animal care baskets, essentially, to bring to local shelters to folks that have been displaced that are looking for carriers to keep their pets in and putting old shirts and toys and stuff in them. So Jen and Billy Wright are awesome people. They got huge hearts, and they're helping the animal community how they can, even though they've been told to pretty much stay in place just to keep the roads clear and make sure that there's no nobody gets put in any unnecessary risk, so to say, where they're at. Also, thoughts go out to the community in Lindenville. Megan Dix was killed. She was shot in the head over while we were down in Virginia. I found out about that. There was an arrest made in that, and it was looked like it was basically a random act of violence. Megan, I had met Megan in the past, and my wife Melissa had graduated with her, so our thoughts out with all the folks there, and I'm glad that they brought that person to justice. Now we let the judges and the courts do their work. Christy King, she's going through some loss, so our thoughts are with her. And again, this is a somber start to the program. We're going to be transitioning to Dan Bolton here momentarily, but I also wanted to take a minute. We reached out to Justin Buchanan and gave him the opportunity to come on the show to hang out with us for a little bit, but he was too busy. Justin had an incredible story. Saturday morning, his mother died, and he went out and he won a derby that night. So we our thoughts out there with Justin Buchanan in his difficult times. Again, it's a bit of a somber start to episode number 194, but nonetheless, we wanted to make sure that we mentioned at least those topics quickly before we moved into the bulk of our entertainment programming. Here is Dan Bolton fist pumping all the way back from Hartford Fairgrounds with his Camry in tow. Congratulations, Dan, on picking up that win.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
Toyota Dano, man. I saw the new page already. Way to go. Saw all those Mopars. Toyota Dano. Don't get no better than that.
Oh, man. I think Buell has way too much time on his hands. I tell you, I saw the... I couldn't stop laughing. It was pretty funny, actually.
I mean, for you know, the price you've been getting out of your Mopars when you sell them, you ought to have 30, 40 Camrys for next season.
Dude, I told that to somebody the other night. I said I kid you not, $300 a Camry. So you do the math. You could buy five of them for what it costs you for one Mopar.
Absolutely, buddy. You're going to be the Camry King. I think that's the next shirt Chris Marquardt comes up with, is Camry King, Dan Bolton.
Oh, boy. You know, I don't know. As the older I get, I'm looking for the easiest build. And they are easy, man. They don't get no easier.
I joked about that Camry King thing with Josh the other day, and I guess that name's already been taken. So we're gonna have to come up with that.
Camry King.
There's like 13 other people that call themselves that. So we got to come up with something better. Yeah, you know, I mean, but the thing is, it's just between you and me. Let's pretend Dan's not listening. It's like, what happens next week when he has to sell out?
That's true. Hey, how about Jeremy Gulley got a second place finish? That's pretty good.
At Hartford?
Yeah.
And Jake Sherman was in the top three in one of the runs. I mean, our local guys represented pretty well.
Absolutely, no doubt.
That was a hard-fought battle down there, man. I do believe it was, we had two heats, 20 cars in each heat, and basically run to the last man standing. So I drew heat two, Gully and Justin, they drew heat one. So I was all by myself out there, and it was a blast, man. It was I think it was about 25-minute heat. Run right down to the last one, and it was a great time, man. And they paid out. It was an awesome pay. I got $1,500 for winning that, and they paid $1,500 to the other heat too. So they paid out big money.
Wow, that's real good pay.
Trying to fix the cameras.
Sorry, Chris. I want to apologize. I was a little late. We had a little late chalk talk tonight on football, and so I rolled in at 6:05. You didn't hear any Blake breaking glass by any chance, did you?
Downstairs?
Yeah.
No.
All right, I wouldn't worry about that then. It's probably fixable eventually.
What happened?
No, nothing. We're good.
Is there anything I need to be aware of?
No. We're good. So,
it's funny you should ask about breaking glass. I gotta tell you a story.
Uh-oh. Off air or on air? Probably off.
Yeah.
You had to think. You probably had to.
My response is, it's usually worth waiting.
Yeah. I don't know if anybody can even hear what's going on right now, so I'm trying to...
If things aren't working, it's because Chris is trying to take care of me because I was late. So I apologize to all the guys and people that are watching. So Dan, what's next for you, man? I mean, where's the next place you're running, buddy?
Well, I kind of already got twin brother to that Camry. I got another 99, same color, sitting right there. So my buddy Travis comes down. He helps me out from time to time. You know, he's one guy that's always kind of come and give me a hand, Travis Cooley. And they had a little baby, and he don't have a whole lot of time and money on his hands right now. So I'm going to let him finish my Camry off, the one that I took to Hartford at the San Filippo Smash. I'm going to build a fresh one and take down there, and then we'll run together.
That's cool.
So I kind of just want him to go out and run and have a good time. You know, you know how it is. When you're in the Derby, you're never really actually out of it when you're out of it. So, you know, I'd like to see him take it down there because it's got another run into. We'll smash the back of it down and just send the front. You don't even have to back up. Just drive forward.
That's awesome. Now, he's...
No cages.
Wow, no cages. Well, as long as you don't sit still, you don't really... I mean, you know, if you're sitting still, that's when you get your doors pushed in. But so, Daniel, is he... He's the one that knows the rules to where he has to take the shoes off before you come in your shop and... You know, you have to wash your hands before you work on anything. He's the only one that can adhere to them rules like you, and so that's why he's allowed in the shop so much. Or is that how that works, or what, bud?
He's just a friend from way back. He used to derby all the time. You know, a lot of my buddies I grew up derbying with, none of them derby anymore. You know, so he's one of the guys that he lives not too far from me there. So he comes down and he gives me a hand, and you know, I appreciate it, man. I try to tell him all the time, dude, you don't understand how much I appreciate it because I'm pretty much a solo builder. And so he's welcome to come in here, whether he's a little dirty or not, you know.
Wow, you must really like him. I mean, now the big question is, I mean, you had some success with the Camry. When are you going to get your brother Tommy Dowd into a Camry?
Boy, I'm telling you, man, somebody wants to throw a three-man team show out next year someplace, I'm game, man. I'd do it in a heartbeat.
I don't know if you know, Dowd, for the money he spends on stuff, I mean, he could probably have 10 or 20 of them sitting at his house by this weekend. you know, you guys could tour the nation. I mean, you could, you know, get a wedge trailer and haul three of them out to Blizzard Bash and tear stuff up.
Dude, the problem is, you know how it is, Brian, when there's a good car out there, they don't take people long to figure it out. Next thing you know, everybody's buying them up.
Well, there you go. Then you just gotta find the next one after that, Dano.
But there's thousands upon thousands produced a year.
There's more Camrys than there is anything else we smash. I mean, there's millions of them little things running around.
They made more Camrys in 1 year than they made Imperials in the entire run from 64 to 66.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, there's millions of them.
They're around every corner. I mean, if you go on Marketplace on Facebook, just punch in Toyota Camry, they're everywhere.
No, I've heard everybody say that them compacts are a quick build and fun to drive, but I see how hard those guys get hit, and I just think I'm too old for that stuff. I mean, I think it'd be neat if I was 20 years younger, I'd give it a shot, but I'm just too old to get bounced around like that.
What one was better? I mean, you had success with the Accord. You had the Honda at Otsego County Fair, and then you got the win with the Camry. Which one was the better car?
Well, you know, that's what's cool about it. Like, I hadn't put a compact together in 13 years, and, you know, I think it was the hometown show, and I wasn't going to run, and I got that itch, and my buddy Ryan Lund, who does my vinyl, he had that down there. I said, oh, what the heck? So I picked it up 2 o'clock Saturday afternoon, stripped it out, and that thing was bare bones, man. I mean, I had my Impala bumper on it, went down there, won the heat, and I think I got down to, like, 6th in the feature. So then I was like, well, I'll see how good one of these Camrys are. So I actually put a little bit more time into that one, not a lot, and still no cage. And I put that one together, and I go out and I win. That's just, you know, I don't know. I don't know how it works, but it's fun. You know, I'm always looking to try to change up a little bit, because if you don't, you kind of get snagging. You can get run down with it and stuff. So
do you still?
I like the compact guys. You know, if you think about it, the compact guys, they don't get enough credit. Those guys come to every show in full force. You know what I mean? And they're the heart and soul of the derbies, really.
That's a very, very valid point. Very true. You get more cars turning out at a derby than in the compact division than you do in the full-size division. And just about every derby that we've been to, be it for Crash Course or just to go watch as spectators. Do you get the same rush? I know back in 1995 when you were fresh out of high school, you started running the compacts back in the day when the Tempo and the Beretta and the Corsica were the hot topics. Do you still get the same rush driving a compact now that you've gone through your evolution and come back full circle, driving full size old iron, driving full size trucks? Is it still just as rewarding driving the compacts?
Yeah, I definitely, man. It's all about having fun. I stress that time and time again. If you're not having fun, then, you know, it becomes a job, and then, you know, you might want to think about doing something else. And it was getting to that point with me with the trucks, because, you know, going out to Utah, Paul, coming back here, I filled in his truck, my truck, and I burned myself right completely out, and then I had another poor run, and it's just like, you know what, I need to step back and take a look at things, and, you know, maybe I need to try something, change it up. And I change it up, and look, man, I found a winner's circle twice. So it's like, hey, man, a win rejuvenates the soul, man.
Absolutely. Is it fulfilling to know that the Camrys and Accords that you're driving now are still the same as driving old iron, because they're made from old iron that was sent to China?
Dude, I don't care what, you know, compacts are compacts. I started in them, you know.
Completely missed it.
I came from a family that nobody knew anything about, like, non-mechanical, you know, so I had to teach myself. That's probably why I didn't start out in the big iron, because I didn't even know what an Imperial was, or I didn't even know what one was. I remember looking at the rules, I'm like, geez, Dad, what's a Chrysler Imperial? I don't know, what is it, you know? So I started out in compacts, and I moved my way, you know, I worked my way right up the ranks, and, you know, going to Utah last year, I don't think it could get any, I don't know, I think I peaked right there, you know what I mean? So it's like, why not fall back into the compacts? You can throw them together quick, have a good time. And the compact guys, I had a blast out there. I was getting thumbs up and high fives, and they're good kids out there. No drama, just have a good time.
And you said the build was relatively simple. The keys are pretty elementary. Make sure you got a car that starts out hard. Make sure you got a good bumper to put on the front of it, something that's hard that can hold the rails, and don't sit still.
That's my motto. I mean, Justin was picking. I mean, he's like, dude, you're not going to put a cage in this thing? And he's like, you're nuts. I'm like, dude, never ran cages forever, dude. I mean, if you're not, you know, those small cars, nobody's running horsepower. You know, I mean, if you don't get yourself sideways on the track, you're going to be all right. And even if you do get sideways, I mean, I did it at the fair there. I got caught looking over my shoulder, and I laid down. You know, they hit you in the doors, but those doors can take it. And I like the old iron, or, you know, somebody's running a diver or a red line or something, man. You want to make sure you got some, you know, you want to have your cage bars in there for that. But they're simple, man. They're stress-free, dude. And I had a blast. I'm going to run a few more of them, man.
The number of the – shows that we've been to in our time have evolved to include an outlaw compact class or a V8 compact class, where we've seen, you know, V8 Mustangs and Camaros and things along those lines run. So how long before you pull the 440 out of one of your Dodge trucks and stick it in an old Colt?
Dude, wouldn't it be awesome to put my 440 in one of those things and somehow find like a mini rear where I could put like a real short drive shaft in it or something?
It wouldn't be hard at all. Just use it. I mean, the Ford rear ends that were in the Mustangs would fit fine. I mean, I don't anticipate that you'd go the way of a Mustang, but I'm sure that you could find. I think it was it the Plymouth Arrow? Mm-hmm. It was the Mitsubishi pair to the Plymouth back in the 70s. You could get that, or even maybe an Aspen would fit, or Dodge Omni. You could do some work on that. You got plenty of time to fabricate now that you're blowing through these builds in 3 hours.
Here's a fun little story I should tell you about Morris. My cousin Ryan's down there walking the pits, and he comes up, this young guy's in the compacts. He actually drew him saying he is me, and he knew I was in there. I don't even know who this was. He's like, I'm so nervous. Your cousin's in my heat. I don't know what to do with myself. I'm Dan's going to drive right through me. And he's like, have you seen Dan's car? Go down and look at Dan's car, because there's nothing special about it. It is funny. The kid was all nervous, and he ended up coming down, and he looked, and he seen how stock my car was. And I don't know if it eased him up a little bit or not, but it was funny. You know, I try to, to me, that's why I went into the compacts, because I don't want to build. So, to me, I'll just... put a good bumper on it, like you said, a good set of tires, you know, plugs, wires, so it's going to run good. And fuel injection, I mean, it's going to run. Keep it running, you'll be good to go.
You alluded to getting back into the compacts there and that last response that you had. And I know I told you it was going to be a light interview, but since you brought it up, I figured we could hit on the topic. The prevailing rumor is that you actually were knocked into retirement out of the trucks because you didn't want to have to contend anymore with Rouse Motorsports.
Where do you guys come up with this stuff? It's awesome.
Well, those guys were doing pretty good, and they're gaining some momentum and have really, really stepped up their truck program, and now it's just gonna be easier to go into the compacts and have to worry about contending with them, because if they're building stuff just as hard as yours, you guys are both gonna have stuff to fix.
Well, listen, dude, this is what the deal with me was. Is like after the Paul and I discussed the whole spindle situation with his truck that I was building, mm-hmm. we're like, dude, we got to change them out because that's what's been taking me out. But then we sat there and did the math. Like, I ran that truck 8 times and I had a spindle issue 3 times. So it's like, so we took that spindle to Utah with us, Jeremy and I, with Gully, when we went out there, and he was going to make one, but then he needed the truck there to be able to mock it up to, and he didn't have a truck, so... Make a long story short, he didn't make the spindle. What takes him out? The ball joint rips out of the spindle. So, I'm not having that luck again. My mindset was like, you know what? I'm not going to put another truck on the track until I get the right suspension parts. And I know what I got to have. I found a set of 4-inch lift spindles. They're solid steel. They're $1,000 for a set. And you won't break them. Yeah. So, I'm not.
4 sets.
And then he cooked my tranny, too. So, he built me a new tranny, Paul did, and it's sitting in Utah in his shop. So, when I get that back here and I get these spindles, you know, I'll put another truck together. But in the meantime, I'm gonna just have some fun with the compacts.
Oh, my gosh. Think about the fuel economy Dan's going to get driving out with his Camry to Utah to pick up his transmission and drive it back. He'll have to stop for gas once out, once back.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
No, that's getting shit, buddy. I'm not driving out there for that.
That transmission will that transmission will fit nicely on the back seat, and you're just going to rip the interior out anyway.
Yeah, go for it.
You can buckle it in,
it'd
keep
be
it.
Nice, look, it'd be a nice romantic trip for you and the wife. It'd be like a second honeymoon.
Yeah, snuggled up next to the 727.
I've been calling Paul and all, but he's been having horrible luck this year. I think I told him, I'm like, dude, you should have never brought me out. You're getting my luck, and now I'm having your luck. I've got a couple wins.
Yeah, I see Paul's been having kind of a rough year, so it's, you know, it's cyclical. I mean, he had a great year last year. Well, he's had a bunch of great years, and then he gets some down luck. Luck is cyclical, man. Motorsports is cyclical. It comes and goes, that's for sure.
It's funny you say that, Brian, because I was talking with Pete Hansen down there to Hartford, and he's awesome to talk to. I always love talking to Pete, and he was telling me, he's like, man, you know, I was on top of my game. And, you know, my dad, when his dad, he was talking to me about his father when his father was alive. And he was like, yeah, he's like, you know, right now you should hang it up, Pete, because you're never going to get any better than you are now. And he's like, you're nuts, Dad. I'm going to stay in it. And like, he went, like, for four or five races, he fell right off. You know, you never know when you're going to come off from the top, you know?
Yep, definitely. Definitely. Pete's been doing all right with that wagon, though. That's been doing him, treating him pretty well.
Pete's gonna build a truck, dude.
That ought to be interesting. He ought to run that for a decade.
He's gonna build an 07. He told me that flat out.
07 Dodge?
Yes.
So he'll be able to run that when he's done welding on it in 2019.
Dude, I'm telling you, ain't nobody gonna beat him.
What do you think would happen if he brought that 07 Dodge with his red line to Waterloo and hit one of them 1-ton vans with it?
Oh,
pain. Boy. It would be awesome to see.
Yeah, he would drive right through it.
It would literally be. Don't.
See, I'm just as much a fan of the drivers and sport as I am a driver, you know, so like, it's cool. Like, lately, I've been running into Pete all over the place, man, like the last three shows he's been at. Kind of neat to see a guy at that level still, kicking around in the area. And he said he's got
all sorts of plans to start doing that more. He's going to start running more stock division shows, running more county fairs, and helping get his boy broke. His boy did a great job at GDS, won both.
Two for two.
Yeah.
Two for two.
Not bad. Robert did just fine over there for himself at GDS. We'll be talking with Jeremy Gulley a little bit more about that here later on in the show. But while we're around the initial opening leg of the topic, Spinning Wheels Productions is going to have one more show this year. That's going to be the San Filippo Smash, September the 30th at the Otsego County Fairgrounds. It's a class for everybody type show. It ends with a wipeout style San Filippo Smash, where anything left running comes out and they battle for the cup. Limited weld rules are the max of the cars that are allowed. Compacts, trucks, vans, full size, all part of the program. Bring it out. The 2017 schedule and rule book is available online, www.spinningwheelsproductions.com. Glad to formally welcome now Derby Dog Productions to our list of partners. They've got a show on the 30th of September as well, Battle of the Border 3. It's $50 entry per car per class. Gates open at 9 o'clock. Derby starts at 3. 4,000 to win pro stock full size. 3,000 to win pro modified full size. 3,000 to win pure stock compacts. 3,000 to win 80s wire class. Plus at least $1,000 for all of the other adult classes, 5-foot class, V8s, full-size trucks, stock minivan, light truck, SUV, modified mini V8 trucks, pro mod compacts, youth classes for the wire compacts and the stock compacts. It's going to be an awesome show. Derby Dog Productions, remember the hyphen in between, derbydog-productions.com if you want more details on that one. Again, it's $50 to entry per car, per class for Derby Dog's show. Upcoming event for Smash Demolition Derbies is we're on the cusp of breaking into September 2017. On September the 3rd is Stark County in Canton, Ohio. Smash It Leaf Class, mini cars, full-size trucks, street stocks, and power wheels. September the 4th is also Stark County, second day of that show. Smash It Leaf Class, compact cars, compact trucks, stock class, and power wheels. The September the 15th show is Guernsey County in Old Washington, Ohio. Leaf Class, mini cars, full-size trucks, power wheels, youth class, ladies-only compacts, and the season will conclude, the county fair season will conclude on September the 23rd, Ashland County in Ashland, Ohio. Leaf class, mini cars, trucks, youth, and power wheels. Their season will not conclude for real until after November 2017. The Kansas Expo Center, again, playing host to Blizzard Bash 2017, online blizzardbash.com in Topeka, Kansas. Thursday, November the 9th at 4 o'clock is National and Qualifying Team Round 1. Ed Brewster is getting into town on Tuesday, so some of the other preliminary RC events will be contested on Thursday, provided that we can get the track built in between all the interviews and other stuff that we have going on. So we're going to be busy all week long, busier all week long than we were last year, and we were busier last year than we were. You get what I'm going for there. Friday the 10th is the Team RC Derby that starts at 9 o'clock. National and Qualifying Team Round 2, 14 to 17-year-old youth as part of the 6 o'clock program. Saturday, November the 11th, it's the double program, 10 in the morning, Compact and Limited Weld Team Round 1, 6 o'clock, Power Wheels, all the Team B-Mains, Trucks, Youth, and Bone Stock, and then Championship Sunday, November the 12th, 1 o'clock, National Qualifying Limited Weld and Compact Team A-Mains online. The teams have been released, blizzardbash.com. Stay tuned for more on that as we get closer to releasing the entry list for everybody who wants to put in their fantasy teams. So there's all sorts of stuff going on there. We're going to
break 1,000 this year.
Want to know the nice thing?
What's that?
About that is the test run for automation at Capital City Carnage worked better than I could have expected.
Well, you did it. That's why.
Well, yes and no. Yes and no. But ultimately, I don't have to worry about it. They can just go, as long as we get all the names in there and get the name changes and everything situated properly, which shouldn't be an issue because everything's time stamped and backed up, you can go log your team and I never have to see it. I don't have to manually enter anything. All I got to do is put the names in ahead of time, and I bet you 70% of the names are already in there. You know what I mean? From years past, the way we've got so many repeat drivers, so it should be pretty good. The name that's missing off of the entry list, though, is Dan Bolton. You got to get out there for Blizzard Bash just one time with a car.
Well, Gully's never going to let me live that down. He's like, by the time you decide to go out there with us, it's going to be over. He's always asking every year, and with work, it's hard to get there. But hey, did you know that Gully finished second in his heat? Did you know that?
Yeah, Hartford Fair, right? Yeah. We talked about
that.
Yeah,
I didn't know. That.
Oh, okay.
You're 20 minutes late.
You remembered that or not?
Yep.
And I'm pretty sure, if I remember correctly, the Jake Sherman got third in one of the heats.
Jake Sherman never even ran.
Oh, did he? All right. Then,
not that I was aware of. Maybe he was there. I don't think so, though.
Yeah, I didn't see anything. Usually no. Jake's got something up on his page. I didn't see anything about him going.
Fake news.
Fake news. Come on, Chris.
Victim of fake news.
I expect more out of you.
Eh, so do I. I don't know what it is. Well, Dano, man, I appreciate you coming on the show and hanging out with us for a little while. We got to turn our attention to Jeremy Gully. Jeremy's going to come on and talk about GDS and what they had down there. And they've been very busy last week securing sponsors. It's, man, what a list they've got. But, Dano, man, I know we're going to see you again at the San Filippo Smash. You're building a fresh car for that one. Is there anything that we missed while we were talking tonight?
No, man, it's always a pleasure to come on and talk with you guys. You know that. And thanks for asking me to come on. I appreciate it.
Always, man. I'm glad we could make the schedule adjust for everybody, and Brian made it, and we were able to get you on still. So I appreciate it. Congratulations again on the win. Nice job, and looking to pick up number 3 at San Filippo. I wish you the best.
Yeah, buddy. I'm gonna bring one down there, and we're gonna send her straight up and down that track, and hopefully pick up a third.
That'd be good. Nice job, Dan. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, guys. Take care, Brian.
You're going, Dan.
See you later, Dan. There goes Dan Bolton, Hartford Fair. One of the Hartford Fair Compact champions for 2017. Good win for him. And, again, not putting a cage in the car, which I thought was
crazy,
borderline certifiable. But, hey, who's to judge, right? Who's to judge? I lost my train of thought here. So we hit on – oh, New Alex. Steve Sciopa coming away with second place in that one in championship night. That information I don't have immediately at hand. Todd Sciopa, in the post that was made by Scott Brown, said that Todd was the victim of a bad call.
That doesn't sound good.
That it also sounds opinionated. So is he biased? I probably would agree that he is. He specifically went down there to see those guys. So, but Scott's a good dude. So I feel bad for Todd. I know he really had his heart set on that one. We touched on Smash It. I got to go backwards for a second. I understand that Russ, after completing his first cycle of treatments, has not been deemed cancer-free yet. While they've made gains on it, he is going to go through a second round. So our thoughts are with Tim and Russ as they continue down this what will ultimately be, when he's done, it'll be the battle of a lifetime. He's fighting hard, and we wish those guys the best, and keep our fingers crossed for a very speedy recovery for Russ. And what a over the weekend we also had Shenandoah County Fair. They adjusted their schedule and ran Sunday and Monday with basically the stock show on Sunday. And then they put the mod class on Monday night. You want to take any guesses?
Gokenauer.
No. And if you look at the win list over the last couple of years, you know that all your money should have been at Jason Koch.
Yeah.
He brought his Bash for Cash car over there for mod night and came away with the win. Unfortunately, he's working tonight, so we couldn't get him on. But we're going to catch up with him as we get closer. He always does that benefit derby in the fall. Yeah. So we're going to catch up with him, and we'll talk about that. And fingers crossed that we catch up with him in October. Again, good run for him. Other winners on the weekend, Jason Whitmera coming away with a win in the eight-cylinder class, the V6 class was won by Josh Wilkins. Good win for him. Cardiac Arrest Racing. He's the guy a couple years ago. If you remember, he drove so hard when he made the hit, his foot was so deep on the throttle that it folded his toes back on top of his foot.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Third. Nasty cars. So he picked up the win there. Brad Kibler coming away with the win in the compact division. They separate sixes and fours. So the four-cylinder division, Brad Kibler. Kiblers, they win everything down there too. They are awesome to watch run. They drive super hard. Monday, Jason drove the wheels off it. It was a heck of a show. And then the V6, we didn't get a full report on who came home with the win in that one. But good win for those guys.
Absolutely.
Those guys that were down there. And let's see. Stern Dirt Racing, they got a couple race events coming up here quick. Almost called them a race. Suddenly we're in Utah. We're calling them races again. Upcoming event, September the 9th. Coming up right around the corner, West Jordan Beatdown, West Jordan, Utah. Iron Trucks, Farm Trucks, Passenger Derby, $30,000 purse. September the 16th is that Day of Reckoning show. That's the one that Ben's going out for. That's that all-new facility in the State Fairgrounds in Salt Lake City. And we're going to get a chance to see it firsthand when we're back out there October the 7th for Halloween Havoc. It's a Run What You Brung event and the pit party. Stern Dirt Racing, sterndirtracing.com. Fantastic show out there year in and year out, and I can't wait to see that new facility. The Run What You Brung rules, they basically have a light class, a middle class, a little bit heavier class than an outlaw class. Show up, they go through tech inspection, say you look like you fit here, you either gotta weld a little bit more, you gotta cut a little bit less. So it worked out pretty good for those guys. Brookfield Wheel Days, that one's knocking on the door too. September the 23rd at the Madison County Fairgrounds in Brookfield, New York. King's Crash from Smash from Derby hosts the annual fall cleanup event at the Madison County Fairgrounds. This show's been part of the schedule dating back to 2011. We're excited to be back there and going live with this one. Always a hard-hitting show. John King oversees it, 315-750-6956 online. You can find him on Facebook, King Smash from Crash him. There's the link right there for everybody to follow up on. Found out there's going to be an RC Derby at the Lake Erie Rumble on September the 9th. Mark Yuriko out there in Dunkirk has been busy with those events. They've had two of them the last 2 weeks. They had about 20 cars and just show up at his garage, and they ran through. And Mike Mlechko was doing tech inspection and making sure all the cars were legal. We're going to have an Outlaw Derby on September the 10th down at Radio Hill Raceway. This coincides with Ed Brewster's big two-day East Coast Championship Derby that's going to be at JMW. And all of this abstract information comes together in one center focal point. Our own Jamie Davis, who's driven demolition derbies up here for years and has dabbled a little bit with RC demolition derbies, went to JMW Motorsports Park on Saturday afternoon and won the first of two Northeast Mud Boss races. So cool, he drove to it. That was his first win on tour, and it was not an easy one. I know it's not Derby related, but I'm still proud of him. Dave Callahan is the points leader with 10 laps to go. Dave drove up on the back of him like it was nothing, and then with four to go, bobbled in lap traffic and fell straight away behind, and on the last lap was under him, and Jamie won by a half car length. Really? He had plenty of pressure to deal with, and the track was, through the course of the day, the track started out really loose dirt, and then it rained during the feature, so it got glazy, and then the rain ran in, so it got grippy, and then the dust blew off of it, and it got back down to the slick stuff, and Jamie just stayed the course, and he got the win, so I was happy for him. That was a good win for him. And we've alluded to this a couple times, Cass in the Valley looking at October the 21st. We're going to be back down in Shenandoah Valley with Jason and Penny Shipe and the Thomasville Volunteer Fire Department. The show is always a home run. Right now, I can tell you that this show is going to be live to tape at best. The signal is gone. I don't know what happened down there, but there is no signal to stream this one. The Weld Class is now open to Imperials and Hearses. The card includes the compacts, the stocks, Weld Class, trucks, and vans. Jason Shipe oversees it, 540-335-7510, 540-335-7510. It's at the Shenandoah County Fairgrounds in Woodstock, Virginia, 2017 Chaos in the Valley. It's going to be one you don't want to miss. We're going to get Jeremy Gully on the line next. We've covered all of those commitments. Jeremy said that he's been running like a chicken with his head cut off, trying to keep up with.
A little bit. He's definitely a very busy man.
And, yeah,
he was a little tired a couple weeks ago when I talked to him, and he told me he had to build two or three more cars and get ready for this and do that. And just crazy.
And he went to Vermont for.
Yep.
I don't remember what show that was.
Yep. Took a Seville up there and
yeah.
Drove it like an Imperial.
Perfect.
I don't believe in Jeremy, but he did.
Yo, let me put you in. Jeremy said he was looking forward to this phone conversation because he'd be able to, it would basically make him sit down.
No, he's probably walking and talking, probably walking and doing two or three things when you speak.
What are you doing right now, Jeremy Gully?
I am sitting here watching deer out across my pond.
Can't go wrong with that.
Anything with horns on it?
No.
That's still good. Have you seen the bear since it tore down Mama's peach tree?
He was in the neighbor's garbage not last night, maybe before last when she come home. I thought she was going to hit him with her car, but she had him lined up, but it was a driver's side door shot, so she passed.
It was funny. Jeremy and I, amongst other things, we talk hunting too, and down there they usually see some bear, and I said, hey, you seen any bear lately? He's like, no, I haven't seen it in a while. The next morning, I get up, and here's a picture of their peach tree destroyed. A bear had come in and tore down Jody's peach tree, her pear tree. So
that was an old tree.
Yeah, so I kind of cursed him. So we now know what Jody's going to be hunting for. She's not going to be hunting for deer this year. She's on a bear hunt. So Jeremy may have a new bear rug this year. But
you remember Tom Bell?
Yeah.
Tom?
Yep.
He hit a bear with his vehicle on the road. And when he went through, he didn't even bother to stop, but he could see in the rearview mirror that thing just spinning on its back, pawing at this guy. It was it was back when they all went down to Stoneboro.
And, really?
Yeah, and it did some damage, caused some chaos on the front of his car.
Oh, I'm sure.
Bears stout.
Are big. They're heavy.
So how'd everything go? First, how'd everything go up in Vermont when you made the trip up there, Jeremy?
Oh, it was good time, man. Good time. I think they had nine four-man teams. We won the heat, but unfortunately the carnage was too much for us to get back out to the feature. Some guys from up that way, Justin Bolster, Chris Murray, their team went back out, and Skip Foster, and pretty much dominated the feature. But what about a different ball game? I ran over my own bumper and popped a hole in my trans pan, and Tom Taylor Jr., his car just wouldn't refire. It got really, really hot. And then we actually had to grab a fourth guy out of the stock show to come with us. And he was running just a stock 4.6, exploded his starter. And
cool.
We didn't make it out to the feature. But.
So fast forward to GDS, which in the midst of all this, you're building the cars for every which direction and getting ready for Hartford as well. How did GDS go off? I know Robert did very well, and Trent came home, I think, with a third place, if I remember right, in one of the youth classes. Trent?
We had a busy, busy weekend. Of course, we started GDS Friday night, and Kylie actually ran down there Friday night. We had seven youth cars, which was, the biggest class of the night. We didn't have a really good turnout. 23 or 25 cars or something like that, but Robert came away with the win. He actually went nose to nose with Trent. I think went nose to nose with a girl, and she face planted in the steering wheel pretty hard, so it got red flagged, and we wanted to make sure she was all right. And at the red flag, both Trent and Kylie, their cars shut off, and neither one of them refired after the red flag, so it got down to just Robert and the young lady there. That she actually got back in the car after she gathered her wits about herself and realized that she wasn't bleeding all over the place. And they had a pretty good battle there for a while, and then finally her car just gave it up, and Robbie took the win there. And then we come back, got back home at about 1 o'clock in the morning, got up at 6, started working on cars again. Kylie took a fresh PT down to Hartford. I took a Camry. Mm-hmm. Neither car was finished Saturday morning. So we worked on them until about 2 o'clock, got everything loaded up, and headed down there. And Kylie took a fourth down there. Nice. And I ran the second. And then we got home at about 3:30 that morning. And I went to work at 5:30. And left work at 4:30 to go to the Derby Cruise Inn at Lippy's at 5:30, which is in Green, New York. So, had a fun-filled Derby weekend.
Have you got any sleep since, or are you just, giving it up for Lent?
Nah, it's either sleeping your dad, bud.
For Lent.
It's
not even remotely close to Lent.
so what's next on your calendar? What's next on the Derby calendar for you, Jeremy?
We have GDS again this Friday night. Paying five spots down, $1,200 to win all three classes. We got the Economy Compacts, the Economy V8s, and the Limited Weld guys paying five spots. I think it's, I'm going to shoot from the hip, and I really shouldn't, but I'm going to. $1,200, $500, $250, $150, and $100, maybe.
People frantically writing this down.
It's on our website, so you can't screenshot a voice.
Good call. I like that.
You can record it.
We had the figure eights, you know, last Friday night, figure eights and the bone stock classes. We had the bone stock minis and the bone stock V8s. Jeremy Spangenberg came away with the win and the bone stock V8 or bone stock full size. Keith Kroll took second. And I don't remember the young man who won the bone stock minis. I can't. I was trying to look it up and I can't even think of his name. And GDS is Saturday this week, not Friday.
Well, if you think of that gentleman's name, if you shoot me a message with it, I'll add it on the show post.
September 2nd, it's Saturday. Friday last week, Saturday this week.
September 2nd. Everybody getting ready to go back to school. Summer's over. Yep. Everybody's depressed. Alan's birthday is coming up this weekend, too.
Man, this summer has just absolutely flown by. We've been really, really busy, don't get me wrong, but you know, time is just, it's gonzo.
Mm-hmm.
We're already starting to prep for next year's agenda.
Hey, but fall brings the two best things, football and football. So we're good to go. Football and football, man. What more do you want for in the fall? It's the best.
Yeah, the only thing I could think that would be better would be to have a derby inside a Giants stadium.
Hey, you know some guys that know some guys. You ought to get working on that, buddy.
I'm in agreement with you. I'm ready for a little bit of a slowdown for a few months. And
now, if we
hunting season, and we'll be right back to building again.
If we could just get you to cheer for, you know, a good football team, then we'd be all right.
Yeah. I just consider the source on that.
We went to a Giants game last year. Jeremy wore a Steelers hat, which I can't really bust them because, you know, the Steelers were my first favorite team, and then Giants were blue, so I started liking them, but it was a good time. We had a good time. But
yeah, regardless, I'm a football fan, and I've never turned down seats at the 50-yard line 19 rows deep.
Absolutely not. And if they come up open again, you let me know, buddy. We'll be there in 3 hours.
You know, we were talking a minute ago about Blizzard Bash and how that's coming up quick. And that's generally the last derby of the year. The first derby of 2018 is going to be February the 10th, the Florida Southern National Showdown. Two-man team demolition derby. More than 20 teams from all over the nation are coming together in Brooksville, Florida. Hernando County Fairgrounds. Tickets and event info are online, hernandofairgrounds.com. We're going to be down there with the Siopas and J.C. Molly and John Cash. And
rumor has it Crash Course is going, right?
That's not a rumor. That's for real. And I've priced out the tickets. We're going to be flying right into Tampa. It should work out just fine, but we're really looking forward to getting down there. Josh and Ben went down there last year on the recon mission, so to say.
You and I went to
year.
Minnesota. It was 50 in Minnesota.
Yeah, it wasn't bad in Minnesota. It was
that weekend. I think that was the best weather we've ever had there. It was, and the track was good. The track wasn't sloppy. It was a good show.
It was a great show. It was
always
a lot of fun.
Show up there.
Can't really go wrong. I remember the one picture that we have from there, it was in the magazine that somebody got hit on the side and knocked the wheel off, and you can see the brake rotor flying through the air.
Yeah.
Got frozen in time. It was cool.
Cool.
It was good. Jeremy will be down there in Florida, I'm sure.
It wouldn't surprise me.
Jeremy will show up.
Oh, I don't know. That's right during my busy season, so we'll have to see. If I got 4 foot of snow, it's a lot easier for me to get away, but if I don't have 4 foot of snow, I'll probably be hunting.
That's true. I forgot he's pretty busy that time of year. Pretty busy that time of year.
A lot of congratulations.
Our season here runs from September to April 15th, so it's hard for me to get away. The only reason I get away for Blizzard Bash is because it's right before New York State's deer season, which I work about 22 hours a day for 4 days straight, so they let me get away for a few days before that chaos starts, and I'm able to go to Blizzard Bash. So
that is definitely true. I've been there for a couple days out of those. He's always going. That's right. You're getting close to your hunting season. You got to be getting things ramped up at work, aren't you?
Yeah, Friday morning we actually, as our hunting season starts, and birds are coming in the morning. We got 10,000 pheasants coming tomorrow morning. So
that just sounds delicious. I'm not gonna lie, that's awesome. How many hunts you got for Friday?
I got none Friday. I got four on Saturday.
Cool.
Yep.
Cool. I think Crash Course ought to come down and do a hunt.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah. Since I could be wrong. I don't think you're a hunter.
But you don't know how good a shot I am.
So I'll take your birds.
No, you won't.
That'd be fun.
You're going to have to fight me for those.
Yeah, that'd be a good time.
Our family is actually, this is, dude, hang on. Because I want everybody to know that I have a straight face when I'm telling the story, because nobody will believe it. My family is actually quite big on pheasants. No, we don't have them often at all. Mm-hmm. But to the point where one time my dad was driving down the road. And all of a sudden there was a ka-thunk, and he saw this head flip over the hood, and he stopped and pulled it out, and we cooked it. Because you can recognize a ringneck pheasant head anywhere. He hit it right in the grill, and it didn't break it open or anything, and that thing came home to the slow cooker.
Yeah, first thing I ever hunted with my father-in-law was pheasant, and it was a fun time.
We used to cook. They used to cook everything. They cooked a turtle one time. They had squirrel on a regular basis. They had duck every now and then, but pheasant was it. Mm-hmm. Pheasant, and then deer heart stew.
Never had deer heart stew.
Very good, very good.
Very good. I agree.
I got some recipes that we developed. My grandfather, as much as I love the man, his idea of cooking a deer roast was taking about 4 cups of water and sticking it in a slow cooker and taking the deer roast and putting as many slices as he could into it and studding it with sticks of chunks of whole clove garlic, mm-hmm. and letting it cook for like 10 hours. There's not a lot of fat in deer. No. So it wasn't the best method, but we took the spirit of his and did a couple deer roasts since then, and it was awesome. But I gotta get a decent sized deer roast to make it work, because the small ones it just doesn't go as well in the slow cooker. Mm-hmm. So I'll give you my birds. I need a deer shoulder.
Okay,
you're gonna have to talk.
That should be easy enough, as long as Brian's not shooting. He's not been successful down here.
We've seen him. We just haven't had luck yet. Maybe we'll try to sneak down through a little bit of bow season this year or something. Jeremy shot a nice buck last year on the opening day of Pennsylvania season. Zach and I were down. And
with a bow?
No, with his...
No, with a gun.
Gun. Yep. He actually got to sneak away, do a little bit of hunting, and he had a nice buck. And of course, it was famous because he put it on Facebook because he'd taken his wife's car and tied it to the side of the car. It was the coolest thing.
That was with the feet up over, right?
Oh no! Like legs were down. It was like laying against the side of the car. But he had it engineered up there beautifully, and
I'm sure it never moved either.
No, it didn't.
Jeremy's favorite part of the hunting season is when he gets to wear his ghillie suit and hold a knife in his mouth covered in camouflage and wait for the deer to walk by and take it from on the underside.
Yeah, man. No way to do it.
No, okay. Actually, I think Jeremy's favorite part is just climbing up in the deer stand and it being quiet. There's been a lot of times I've talked to him, texted him, and I seen this and I seen that, but I let it go and I let it go.
You tell me that's what you like about hunting, but you do it through Facebook Messenger to me while you're hunting.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, put your phone away.
Well, I mean, sometimes I get bored. I don't want to fall asleep.
I gotta do something.
I don't strap myself in, so I don't want to fall asleep. Long drop.
There's not much in the world more peaceful than just sitting there in an afternoon, especially during bow season. I'm more of a bow hunter than a gun hunter anymore, but I'll climb up in a tree at 3:30, 4 o'clock when I get done work, and I mean, only get 2 or 3 hours at night to sit there, but It's pretty relaxing, pretty peaceful, and sometimes you just kind of, I mean, I take the camera during early bow season and just take pictures of the bucks and the deer for the kids. and save them for them to shoot. I've shot plenty in my lifetime. I don't really need to shoot one, and I'm not that hungry. So,
nope.
And then, of course, you know, the thought is always there when a deer's standing 20 yards in front of you. If I pull the trigger on this thing, then I got to field dress it, and then I got to cut it up, and sometimes it just ain't worth it.
Doesn't sound worth it.
Honest to God, it just sometimes ain't worth the work that it's going to require.
That's the man that shot a lot of deer right there.
It's a lot easier if the deer that you shoot are the size of German Shepherds.
Oh, absolutely. Right over your shoulder.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I've done that before.
Yeah, it's just easier.
It's good eating. I tell you. Tender.
We almost ran one over in Utah.
Really?
When I was driving that Polaris that we had. We were up in the mountain trails and everything, and we were just cruising along, not even going hard, just up the trail, and a deer come flying right across in front of us.
Was it a muley or a whitetail?
I think it was a whitetail. It wasn't enormous. It was a big doe, and we had a discussion on how we would have gotten that down off the mountain. It was definitely, if we'd hit that thing, it was coming off the mountain.
That's terrific.
I mean, driving through the middle of Heber City with a deer dangling off it.
That'd be the coolest.
With a big Polaris stamp right in the side where we hit it.
That'd be the coolest thing to happen that day.
It would have been, because everything else from there sort of went downhill.
So, Jeremy, you guys going to try to come out to Blizzard Bash again this year? I know you usually got a pretty good crew that comes out.
I'm not sure exactly what's going on. We're kind of up in the air. There's some other things that we're discussing and about doing the summer of 2018. So I may save some time up and do that instead of go to Blizzard Bash. I'm not sure. I know couple guys have said they'd like to go back out, but we didn't get on the list for the Capital Hotel, so cool. that's always a bitch when you got to drive, you know, 2, 3, 4 miles down the road to the hotel, because yeah. It's not just 2, 3, 4 miles; it's the wait to get out of the arena for the hour and a half, and
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
that Saturday night don't get over none too early, and
typically not.
Of course, once we partake in a few libations. Kind of a rough thing to drive, and
yep,
you know, sometimes you jump in an Uber and end up where you're not supposed to be. And
never heard of that happening before.
No.
Well, these things all happen. It's just, you know, just part of the Blizzard Bash experience.
Absolutely. It's a good time though.
In Utah, we took an Uber to Park City, but we took a regular taxi back. The Uber to our destination, the ride took like 12 minutes. It was $10. The ride back took 25 minutes. I had to pull up the destination on my phone twice to get him there, and it was $30 for the ride.
Just stick with Uber next time, huh?
Go with Uber.
Oh, we when Dan and I flew to Utah, we actually went to pick our rental car up. We landed in Vegas, and we took a taxi. We gave the taxi driver the address to the rental car place. She took us on like a 40-minute tour of Las Vegas. And the rental place was like 11 miles from the airport. Oof. 17 or 18 miles after that, we end up with like a $60 cab bill. It was not much fun. We finally got there, and then we drove out to Paul. We actually went to Junkie's place first and then on to Paul's, but
that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So what's the next? Have you decided? Are you running? Are you driving anymore this year, Jeremy? Are you you done for the year?
I don't know. I've got a paid entry for Kings of Wolves on September 16th, and we've got a couple Tahoes already built and ready to run. So we will probably be up there. I got to get the general admission raffle card done for San Filippo. That's really close. I gotta basically throw the headers on it and the tank in it and change the tires out. But that's basically ready for paint. So if we get that done and ready to rip, and I'm happy with that, then I'll go on and finish up the Tahoes and myself and maybe even Skylar will go up and she wants to run a truck in the worst way, and I might let her have Greeny, my little diver motor, and.
That's cool.
Let her go run Kings of Old School in my spot, and let Tony and her go up and run that. So
that's cool.
But,
now, when you watch your daughters run, how Is it nerve-wracking, or I mean, what's it like watching your kids run?
It is to an extent. I worry more when they're younger and they don't know how to drive, or they're just learning to drive, more so than I do as they get older. Mm-hmm. Skylar, I you know, she's 17 now, and she's only run probably a handful of times, but she's picked up the driving aspect really well, and I'm not as nervous about her. She kind of picks up things very quickly. You know, what could be wrong, or what, you know, the shifting is the hardest part. Sometimes I got to look down, and that's when you get blindsided. Yeah. Kylie, she still gets really, really nervous, and sometimes when you're nervous, you don't pay attention.
Yep.
So, you know, Kylie actually caught fire in Holmesdale pretty bad. There was some spilled fuel inside of the, I always run a tank inside of a tank. Mm-hmm. My gas tank's always inside of another box.
Yep.
And that's just that reason. Fuel spilled over either from the vent or when they were filling it with fuel, one or the other. But she had a pump, the positive wire in the pump come loose and hit the tank and caused a spark. And it was a flash fire, but at least the fuel was contained to that box. Yep. And not the floorboards of the car.
Yep.
So she had a flash fire, and that was pretty, especially me being right there as a track official, that was pretty pretty intense. But you know, that's the only close call we've really had. You know, that kind of made me real nervous. Kylie hit the wall at about 40 last year backwards at Hartford, not paying attention. That was pretty. She snapped her head back pretty good. But she kept going. So
yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know about watching my kids derby. I think my nerves would take me. I said that first too, and
you know, I would have loved to have been able to be 12 years old and in a driver's seat of a derby car. Man, I was going to Shango County Fair. I can remember watching Danny Menard and Nancy. I can't think of her. Humphreys maybe. And I used to love watching them battle. Nancy, and there was another one. I can't remember the other, Dale, and I can't remember some names, but I just, growing up, I always wanted to get in a car, you know, and you never could at that time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had to be 16, yep, unless you're from Brookfield, and then they grew facial hair at like 10 up there. So, you know, at 16, though, as soon as I could jump in a car, I was building a car in my front yard. My mom lived in three houses real close together, kind of like a cul-de-sac area there, and I was building the car in the front yard. You know, nobody in my family ever derbied or anything, so I really didn't know what to do.
Yep.
And you know, it's kind of nice to watch these young kids. I mean, the Stantons come out of Walton and came down to and ran Holmesdale. I think we had, I want to say, like 13 or 14 youth cars down there. I can't remember. But some of the younger kids, Zach Daniels brought his boy from Vermont down to run, and just to see the smiles on these kids' faces, I mean, they're just plowing into things and not giving a care in the world, and just thumbs up and smiling ear to ear. You know, Sam Wood was riding with somebody else out of Walton, and
didn't know it was gonna hurt.
Jared Stanton's boy came down, and Mikey Smith out of Holmesdale, his younger brother come up. And I think really, honestly, that's, you know, the sport is slowing down. Let's be real, you know, it is slowing down. But I think if we can get some of these kids interested in the sport, you know, that we all love, I mean, we all have passion for it, I think that's going to help to grow the sport. Maybe not to where it once was, but at least it's going to grow it to the point of existence still and not fall completely to the wayside.
Jeremy, I got to ask you your opinion. I can't remember who I was talking to. It was one of the derbies we were at this year. And we were talking about a youth class. What would your opinion be? I mean, I know generally all the youth classes are compacts, but the concern was is that the compacts pick up so much speed so quick. what would you think about, and I, obviously this is just your opinion, but what would you think of like an 80s and newer class, you know, full size with the youth? I mean,
I actually talked to my insurance company about it, and their thoughts are that it's easier to control the amount of horsepower in a four cylinder than it is in a V8.
I was just wondering.
You know, their concerns were, but my argument to that is there's 250 horsepower four cylinders on the market. There's, you know, there's 300 horsepower four cylinders on the market. And an 80s and newer 305, you're lucky to get 130 out of it. You know, so that was my argument to them. And the fact of the matter is, it's a whole lot harder to control a rear wheel drive as far as handling than it is a front wheel drive. You go forward in a front wheel drive in forward gear, that wherever your steering wheel and your tires are pointed, that's where you're going. You try to drive forward in a V8 and you step on the throttle too much, you're going to go in a loop-de-loop.
Yep, that's true.
So I finally talked them into letting me, if all went well this year, this will be my second year with this insurance company, and if all went well this year, they're going to let me do a V8 youth class next year.
Nice.
That's cool.
So I actually talked to them, and we should be a go. I'm just trying to find the venue. Of course, it's got to be in Pennsylvania. Still can't get them to come off the New York thing, but...
Well, 2 years from now. Keep building. Yeah. Little by little.
New York's screwy on everything, but...
Well, it's court decisions is what I've been told. It's the fact that the courts in New York tend to side with... against the insurance company.
Yep.
And courts in Pennsylvania tend to side with the insurance companies. So they do it. It's a statistical thing, you know. They're weighing their possibilities of losing money. You know, and I get it, but, you know, in the same sense, it kind of sucks because, you know, I could have a really good youth show, I think, in Morris, per se. And, I mean, I had a great one in Holmesdale, don't get me wrong.
Ingram's would be there, no question.
You know, it'd be nice to be able to do, you know, a youth show. And I would still do a youth compact and a youth V8. I won't do just one or the other.
Cool.
There are some people out there that want to just run, you know, they're just going to run compacts.
Yeah, absolutely.
Used to be the progression was you started in the smaller cars, the six-cylinders and the four-cylinders, and then you moved up to the V8s. Well, now guys are staying in the compacts because they're learning them and they're realizing that compacts are 95% of the time are cheaper. unless Dan Bolton drives one and then the price goes through the roof. And they're pretty easy to set up and they're disposable. You know, it's not every day you're going to go out and find, even as much as I don't want to say it, even a Vic. You know, they're not as easy to find as they were six, 7 years ago. That are clean, you know, that aren't rot boxes, but you can find a Hyundai Elantra sitting in the weeds that runs and drives that won't pass inspection because it needed a catalytic converter or something, and you can pick it up for $100, $150.
Yep, for sure.
You know?
For sure.
And, I mean, that's just kind of the way it seems to be going.
Yep.
And, I mean, what was the last V8 rear-wheel drive car come off the market, or the Vicks, rather, come off the floor in 2011 or 12.
Yep.
You know, so it's 5 years since they've even made one in that platform, you know?
Yep.
Well.
Yeah, there's definitely no shortage of the compacts, so. It's, you know, it's, and that's the thing. I mean, guys are putting on great shows with them. They're tough cars, so, I mean, it's definitely gaining, you know, the compacts are definitely gaining momentum. Without a doubt.
I mean, I had my first Camry this last Saturday, and I was thoroughly impressed with it. Well, I mean, I didn't run it my style because
that's a test for it.
I didn't really know what it would take. And, you know, not to mention we had 22 cars on the track, you know, but, I was still able to, and it ain't bent nowhere. It ain't moved. The front's not bent. The back's not really hurt. It rolled up pretty decent, but, you know, it's probably, the Camrys are going to go just like the W-bodies did, just like everything else. They're going to you know, everybody's going to want to run one for until the price gets high, and then they're going to go, you know, going to kind of go to the wayside, sort of like the W bodies did.
Yep.
And you'll be on to the next car. Who knows? It'll be a Ford Focus or something of that crazy nature. But
and that's the thing is, I mean, there's so many of those cars to choose from, and so many of them out there. I mean, you know, eventually they're going to find how to make everything tough. I mean, that's yep. You know, we talked about that with the big cars.
The hot new car hasn't been found yet.
Yeah, you know, everybody, you know, everybody knows how to make a Chevy wagon tough. So then they start getting scarce, and they go to a Chrysler, you know, go to a Shocker or vice versa, or however you do it. And, you know, it's right. Gotten where their, you know, LTDs are getting, you know, the 70s LTDs are getting right. Popular now, you know. So it's you know, everything, right. You know, it's where there's derbyers, there's ways. So,
yeah. I mean, yeah.
You know.
I think I'll stay put in my trucks, and I'll run the occasional car here and there, I can run the trucks out the front window pretty much most of the night, and they'll hold what I want them to hold. And
your Vic's
unfortunately, the Seville I ran in Vermont did not like the front window very much. I lost the bumper. You know, stock show, there's no way to really hold the bumper on.
Nope.
It didn't snap at the brackets. It snapped right at the end of the bumper, but you know, the both frame horns were waffled pretty hard.
Those Vicks you build, yeah. you can drive those Vicks out your front window pretty good, too.
Yeah, but they take so much time, Brian.
Oh, I know.
The mod cars are ridiculous time-wise. And in reality, the quote-unquote stock cars, if you're building them and building them right, they'll take you 2-3 weeks to build. It's not a, you know, I mean, it took me like 4 days just to move the damn wiring on that Camry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm sure there's other guys that are faster at it. I mean, I've had everybody say from, you know, one guy sent me a message. He's like, oh, it takes an hour to move the wires. Well, it took me an hour to figure out how to get the damn fender off. You know, I mean, I'm sure once you get doing them, it's a lot faster. I snapped the timing belt, I'm pretty sure, on the Camry I ran the other night, and you know, somebody sends me a message, oh, it's a 30-minute job, all you got to do is pull the front tire and it's right there. And, you know, I don't know if I want to get into that with a compact, to be honest with you.
No, I'd take your good stuff out and send it to Pete's.
Or sell it to somebody else who wants to do it. It's always an option.
My kid's running the PTs, and she's had pretty good luck with them. And, you know, we happen to do something we've never done. She's ran, I think, six of them, five of them. And she was driving down a track in Hartford. She went to make a turn, and the bottom ball joint fell right out of it.
Wow. Huh. That's weird.
Never seen it before, but it happens.
Huh.
Yep.
Strange.
Well, I'm sure you'll go to work and figure it the rest of the way out, and we'll be seeing you here soon. I mean, less than a month away now from the San Filippo Smash. Well, yeah, about a month away from the San Filippo Smash back there at Otsuka County Fairgrounds. Congratulations on all the sponsors. You guys have been working your tails off, getting people on board to put together giveaways and sweeten the pie a little bit for everybody that's going to be participating at the San Filippo show at the end of this month at the Otsuka County Fairgrounds.
Yep, we're about done. We're gonna close out the event T-shirt here. I think we're gonna do one final check between the three of us: Josh Buell, Josh Decker. They've both been working really hard with me. And Brian Leonard just come on board to try to help us get some recognition and some of the news shows or news stations and a little more press stuff about it. And
nice.
We're going to do one final check, I believe, tomorrow morning, and then we're going to send in the sponsorships for the event T-shirt so all the sponsors can get printed on the T-shirt.
Cool.
It's really shaping up to be a real, real, real good show.
Awesome.
We're, you know, of course, most of that stuff's all pre-ran, and it's all one and done, so guys really don't care. They just junk stuff. And I just want to say, you know, if you can't get out there to support us with a car, which we understand, there's three derbies and three weekends, it's going to be tough for guys to have cars there. You know, bring the family and enjoy a show from the stands. You know, it's a show you're going to want to watch there, and it's a good, fun family atmosphere for a lot of hours of derbying. We are starting an hour earlier this year than we did last year, so we can hopefully finish up by you know, around 8 o'clock or so, because people do have to go. And we did move it to a Saturday, so you got Sunday to recover. But there's guys from Western New York coming out, and some people from down in the southern parts of Pennsylvania. I even had one coming from I think Maryland they're nice. Coming in from, and you know, we're looking at another 250 car show.
Cool.
Just one thing though, I got to ask you about this. Did I hear you right that you said Josh Decker was working hard? I got to make sure I heard.
Stop.
That right.
Leave Josh alone.
You did, but he's doing what he does best, so he's selling.
Okay. All right.
Josh is a real integral part of this whole planning of San Filippo. You know, we kind of sitting there having a cheese platter and homemade wine one night, and he's like, "Well, let's try to do this." And you know, like that's kind of actually where it started. We're sitting right in his garage. The three of us were sitting there bullshitting about, I think, the Bash for Cash builds or something. I don't remember. And you know, that's kind of where it all started from. Is right there. And you know, everybody's been working hard through social media, and of course Josh is using his contacts through, you know, the many years he's been a salesman, and I'm using my contacts and the clientele that I have to try to. We're going to try to really hard to get to that $25,000 mark, and
that would be awesome.
That's going to be our goal this year. And you know, if we go $25,000 this year, maybe we go $50,000 next year.
Awesome, be great.
It's and we couldn't do it without you guys. You know, you guys are a big part of it too, getting it out there. I mean, you know, we've met Jeffy through you guys, and what he's doing is pretty awesome and unreal. That Facebook Live auction for a set of headers, and you know, we're going to be able to reach guys in California now, you know, and Canada, and of course the Northeast page has helped a lot in the whole thing, and just you can't say enough thank yous to all the vendors that have donated from WRP to Ryan Ostrander, Catskill Fab. I mean, we ain't got enough time for me to go through them all, but you know, certainly there's a lot of derby vendors out there that have jumped on board and helping us a lot. WCR, Dave Crawford just donated, sent me pictures today of a Power Wheels. He's got all painted up purple and white with San Filippo Smash on the side, and you know, he's going to give that to some young kid to run into Power Wheels, raffle Power Wheels. You know, we've already got some goals for next year, San Filippo, that we just didn't get time to get done for this year. But you know, the two-man extreme class is full. The V8 compact class is starting to get some traction. We've got four or five entries in that. So it's going to be a good time.
Cool. Looking forward to it.
It's going to be a good one. Jeremy, I know there's a ton of people that you wanted to make mention of here. What we'll do is we'll try and squeeze all those names in on another episode, because we'll dedicate that entire hour just of you reading the list, because it is extensive. But I'm glad to hear of all the support, and it's right around the corner. Looking forward to getting down there. Appreciate you coming on the show, and congratulations on the success here at the Derbies the last week and a half.
Thanks, Chris. Okay. Thanks, Brian. Have a good one.
Appreciate you coming on, man. We'll catch up with you later.
Yep. Bye.
There goes Jeremy Gully. That is going to do it for this one. We've gone over the mark. I was trying to get this one on for on two. Come on. I haven't said anything in 40 minutes.
I'm fired.
I was trying to get this one under the hour with all the San Filippo talk that was going to happen so that we could get on Finger Lakes Television.
Yeah, I understand.
And we've overshot it. They won't even look at it now. But we'll try again next week. We'll start with Jeremy. We'll just dedicate the whole hour.
You could do just edit Dan's now.
I could.
Thank you. Have a good night, and we'll go right to Jeremy.
I could. Thanks, Dan. that'd be terrible. That'd be just his luck too. Yeah.
Well, like a fork in it.
Yep, that's going to do it. Episode number 194 in the books. We'll be back here again most likely next Monday. I don't see any reason why we wouldn't, and we'll start looking at moving towards that's Labor Day, so it might be next Tuesday. We'll talk about it after we're done.
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
We'll talk about it afterwards. And then that's going to be leading up to Lake Erie Rumble, so we'll have tons to talk about there. Appreciate all the folks that tuned in and listened. That's going to do it for this one from the North Park building here at Academy Square at Finger Lakes 1. We'll see you next time.
Crash Course Live is presented by
Smash It Demolition Derby, who hosts Bash for Cash, Blizzard Bash, and Capital City Carnage. Online at smashitderby.com. And Stirring Dirt Racing, host of May Mania's team show at the Golden Spike Arena in Ogden, Utah. Online at stirringdirtracing.com.
Reckless Abandoned Derby Apparel and Derby Inc. Magazine.
This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York.